Thank you, brothers, for that singing. It's sometimes good to sing some of the old songs that we quite often don't sing. And it is also a good thing to recognize he's still working on us. That is true for all of us, whether you are 10-year-old or 97 years old, he continues to work in our lives. Now, last 3 weeks or so, I was preparing and studying and getting ready for the continuation of the book of Ephesians. I'm not going there now. Until last evening, the Lord took me to somewhere else. Another practical thought, that is things that are around us and among us, very subtle, but yet it affects our spiritual life and walk with the Lord. And I wanted to bring that subject to this morning. It's a very extremely practical subject for us. But it will be based on a story that is almost all of you, including the young children, should know. The story of Joseph. But we are not going to dwell on the story itself, but a particular subject that is very prevalent today in the 21st century among Christians and around the world that we live in. Excuse me. One thing that if you are open mind and open heart when you live in this world, things that happen around us, one thing we notice is that we are living in a generation which is not thankful or grateful in life. So that's my theme this morning. You can see that everywhere. You probably see that in your home. You probably see within the church sometimes. It is definitely out there in the world and among Christians also. Not being thankful or grateful is a product of an unsatisfaction in life. That can take us to the next level, and we are not satisfied with what we are or what we have. And then therefore we end up being not grateful to the Lord. All that our behavior and our understanding, our character that is built around here, it reflects on the Lord at the end. So therefore, that is a very serious subject. In particular area of life, many are slowly, but in some cases, unknowingly, slowly fall into that trap, and we can be one among them while I stand here myself. This leads to, even among believers, as I said, unbelievers in general, even among those who are so-called Christians. Did you notice that everyone has a right today? Everyone has a right. In your home, you may hear your children saying, "I have a right." I'm not saying they don't, but I'm pointing to the mindset. When you come to the church, people claim that they have a right. Yes, they do. I'm talking about the mindset. Look around outside of the world that we live in. Everybody claims that they have a right. And I'm not denying the right part. I'm just saying the mindset of people today has shifted from their responsibilities and their self-responsibilities or personal responsibilities, individual responsibility, to the right that they have. And that will lead us in a spiritual sense to not being thankful and grateful what we have. We are always trying to look forward to fulfill my right, my need. And that mindset is very, very dangerous, especially for you and me. So I want to address that in the sense that, picking up the story, I saw that Joseph's story is probably the best one to fit that idea. You know, sometimes even I hear like this, I don't know if I should even say this here, but there are people who will leave an assembly from A assembly to B assembly, and I heard people say, oh, I have a right in this place, wherever they are living. They probably put some money into the offering for the building or something. They claim a right among them. Again, the mindset is what I am referring to. What a shameful attitude that can be if we have that. If we examine our own lives, even here in this audience here, we will find ourselves to some extent at least, that we have probably fallen. The person that we are going to look at is, normally I do read the passage that I'm referring to, but the story is very clear to all of you. And it is a very long story, more than one chapter, so we won't take time to read. And if I refer to certain things in that passages, you know what I am referring to. It is none other than our patriarch Joseph. Now, like I said, my intention is not to go through the story of Joseph this morning. But I wanted you to look at things that happened in his life. Behind it. But I want to begin with reading a couple of verses to get the background of it. Chapter 37 of Genesis. Chapter 37, verse 3 and 4, I will read. Joseph, being 17 years old. Now, pay attention to that. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and the story goes on. Now, Israel, his father, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic. A tunic is something that the Jewish people wear on the top. It's like a long suit jacket or something, white, sometimes white. He made a new tunic for his son of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. This is his brothers, and could not speak peaceably to him. Now, the rest of the story is very well known to many of us. Now, we will look at a few things about what happened to Joseph and try to relate that to our theme this morning. Now, if you look at Joseph, just the basic background of life in which he is at this moment. Number one, he is a young man of 17 years old. If anybody here 17, let me see your hand. Or maybe you are perhaps on the audience somewhere else. He was 17 years old, loved by his father, a special kind of love for him. A young man of 17, loving and with his brothers and searching for them when they were lost in the field, sort of lost. And he went after looking for their well-being. But we also read that he was hated by his brothers. As we know, he saw two dreams. And both the dreams were explained to his brothers and his parents or father. But the second one is interesting. In verse 9 of the same chapter, he saw, I have dreamed another dream. And this time it was about the sun and moon and 11 stars bowing down before me. Now I can almost see the faces of his brothers when he said that before them. And we know what happened thereafter. He was dropped in a well later on. I'm going quickly to certain incidents in his life for a reason. Later, he was dropped in a well and he became a slave. He was sold and he became a slave. And after that, he became a prisoner in Egypt. And many other things when we go through the life of Joseph, we can see here. But these circumstances, in all these circumstances, he was found faithful and he did always the right thing. Each time he does the right thing, he got slapped on his face, so to say. each time. Maybe some of us can identify that. Sometimes you do the right thing and you get slapped on your face or punished for it, or not even, or sometimes maybe not rewarded. It sounds very familiar. This is the whole story of this young man at the age of 17. Sometimes perhaps you may have gotten into trouble for saying the truth or preaching the truth from God's word. Now, there are times I got in trouble, I know. If you tell the truth and preach the word in truth, sometimes you get in trouble. And these are the things that happened in this young man's life. What amazed me throughout his reading of that story is his faithfulness to God, whom he knew so well at the age of 17, was always the same. His faithfulness was not yesterday. His faithfulness was not tomorrow. His faithfulness was now and today in the circumstances in which he is. But the scriptures, you know, I almost was in tears when I read this verse 20. The scripture says in 39 verse 2 and 3, the Lord was with Joseph and he was a successful man, it says. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. The Lord was with him. He made it prosper. But the interesting thing to note there is his master, the Egyptian, saw it. I don't know how he saw it. Was it something visible, his behavior? But we know as we continue to read, the man saw what happened in the life of this man, this young boy. Again, don't forget the age where he is now. If he is at my age or anyone of our age, I can sometimes understand. But look at all things that has happened on the pathway of his life. But here it says he was successful. Wow, really? Was he successful? If you read the story, you don't see much success until towards the end. But somehow, the Egyptians saw. Why? Because this man had an open book in his life. There was no hidden secret. There was no lack of faithfulness to God whom he loved. His testimony was very clear. And the Egyptian saw it. And because of that, we also read that the Egyptian's house was blessed. And perhaps at least the Egyptian saw that much. Oh, what a testimony that is. I want you to think of you and I want to think of myself. Perhaps you think yourself. Have you ever had an experience in your life that someone is blessed? Someone is blessed because of your faithfulness to the Lord. It is a serious and awesome question. This man was as a servant, he is there. The master's house was blessed just because the presence and the life and the testimony and the faithfulness of his life unto his master, his God. Was there any occasion in your life, even today, that someone was blessed because of your love and your faithfulness to God? If I can stretch that truth a little bit further, has your presence in a local church, has it been a blessing to the local church? I won't stretch any further on that. It is a very successful life with a good testimony. Some of us may say, I said myself when I was going through this, wait a minute, is it a successful life? Obviously, in the outward look, it is not. But here comes the devil. Here is Joseph serving the Lord faithfully, committed to Him, not changing his mind, continue to be faithful and thankful and satisfied in where what situation he is. Never say one word. I did not read one word of complaint anywhere in the story of Joseph. One word, he never complained. And he was the devil. In a way, at the peak of the successful life in the as a servant in the home. You know the story after that. Here comes the devil and tempted him. What caught my attention is his reply to that. This is what he said in 39 verse 39, chapter 39 verse 9. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? Against my master? No, that's not what he said. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? This young man was constantly in the presence of God and he saw this sin is against my God. Not against my master, not against the community, not against the Egyptians, but this sin, if I do, it is against my God. That was the testimony of this young man. We also see along this way, past few years already now, that this life is going on, we see that everything that was handed over to Joseph, he worked extremely hard and he was faithful in everything that was handed to him. How faithful are you? How hardworking are you? I think in my opinion, as Christians, we must be the very most hardworking people on earth. Because the Lord wants us to work. Well, you may not like Paul because you know what Paul said? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul said, if one cannot work, what? Anybody remember? He should not eat. If you can't work, you should not eat, says Paul. We must be hardworking people. If you want an example, go look at Joseph. Even when he went through all these adverse circumstances in his life, he was satisfied in where he is. He was thankful and grateful to the Lord, and he will not betray his God. And he was a very hardworking person. That produced a result in the master's house, and we saw that it was blessed. Well, story doesn't end there. In the temptation came, he did the right thing, and he got slapped again. He did the right thing before God and before man, but he got slapped again. What happened? Thrown into the pit, into the prison. How long? For 6 months and get somehow pay some money and get out of there? No, for 13 long years. From age 17, somewhere there, to age 30, this young man was in the prison for doing the right thing. Brothers and sisters, you and I will definitely face this kind of things in your life. You can be faithful and do the right thing all the time, yet getting punished, or at least not getting rewarded. That doesn't sound right in my mind. I don't know how in your thought is. But the story, as you go to the story, there are certain statements I came across. I was a little bit of emotional. Verse 21 says, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now he's in the prison. Before he was in the Egyptian's house. Now here again we read that Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So the supervisor got mercy on him. And because of the Lord was with him, even at that adverse effect, for doing the right thing and getting in trouble, we read that he got a promotion again in the prison. What is the promotion? He was made over other prisoners. because the Lord was with him. Age 17 to 30, about 13 years, he knew that God has put him there. Not one word of complaint. Fully satisfied, grateful and thankful to the Lord. It is almost like Joseph saying that you are so thankful that you got punished for doing the right thing. Are you saying that you are so happy that you ended up in the prison? No, that is not what he is saying. He is saying, my God is with me. I know my God has put me here for 13 years. And the rest of the story we know very well. Almost towards the end of his life in Egypt, we know the story that his brothers came looking for him. Not looking for him. You know the words that he said to his brothers? Sometimes you should sit down and read it. I'm only going to quote one little statement there. Here is Joseph. He is coming out almost as a king. He is the second to the king at the time, with all the power and majesty before him. If I was in his shoes, I would have definitely behaved differently. But look at the words that he said to his brothers who betrayed him, sold him, put him in the pit, did all, hated him from when he was childhood on. Here is the word that Joseph said. I am Joseph, your brother. I am Joseph, your brother. Will you call someone who hated you your brother? That's what he did. Someone who not only hated you, physically harmed you. Will you turn around and tell him, I am your brother? There's a lot of underlying thought under that statement. It almost sounded like, oh, my brothers, thank you for mistreating me. Thank you for putting me in the pit. Thank you for selling me to the Egyptians. Thank you for all this. It almost sounded like this when he said those two, three words to him. I am Joseph, your brother. He's almost thankful that you sold me to the traders. Somewhere along there's something else happened. You know, the butler, he got out of the prison because of Joseph. He got out of the prison. What happened after that? He was completely, he forgot the whole thing. He promised that he will go and talk to the master and get Joseph out of it. But he forgot. Again, Joseph is grateful that the butler forgot him. He had the opportunity to get out. Now, wait a minute. I want to take a backtrack of the story on purpose. Then it will make sense why he did what he did and why God allowed these things happen and be with him all along this life of this man who never complained about anything. I want to backtrack for a moment with the few minutes we have. In chapter 37, verse 15, here Joseph came out looking for his brothers. We read about A certain man came to Joseph and said, I heard your brothers talk that they are going to such and such place. The name is not given. It doesn't matter who it is. A certain man came. The reason I brought that up is, what if that certain man did not come? What if that certain man did not find Joseph? Story will be different. He will perhaps turn around and go back home. What if the certain man did not hear his brothers talk and they are going to such and such place and he would not have any clue to follow his brothers? What if this certain man did not overhear these people while they are talking? God's plan is invisible to all of us. His hand upon Joseph was perhaps not visible to him, but he knew all along If that is the case, he would have turned around and go home. But if he goes home, he has a father, a loving father waiting for him at home. And the story will not be the same. And then he was put in the dry pit or a dry well. And the traders came. Now think about this. What if the traders didn't come? What would be the result? He will probably die, potentially die in that dry well. That what if the traders came 2 days ago? It's same result. But the traders came at the right time, and they were able to sell him. You see God's hand in it? What a circumstance? God's hand was in all this. And I'm sure all of us experience this in life sometime, that we help someone in their life and they completely forgot us. These brothers, they didn't recognize the fact this loving young brother came in search of finding them and inquire their well-being. What if, okay, now the butler, he said he forgot him. What if he has remembered him? The butler goes out and he goes and talks to the king, and Joseph would have been released. He will be happy all over, wash his hands, and he go back to his loving father who is waiting for him. What if he has remembered him, the butler? Perhaps Joseph had a wonderful opportunity to get out of the prison and go home to his loving father. Multiple opportunities Joseph had to go home. But God brought people and incidents at the right time. The story didn't end there. God looks like God closed every door that was open for one purpose: to have God's purpose fulfilled in the life of Joseph. I want you to pause for a second and think back. You can think of things that happened over the years of your life. You can see what if this, what if that. But sometimes we will understand God's plan for your life. Joseph never ever, that is my real main point here, complained anything, and he was fully satisfied when the butler did not remember him. When he was sold, he was satisfied. When he was in the pit, he was satisfied. When he was up there next to the king, he was still satisfied. Not a word of complaint. This mindset absolutely missing nowadays. That is my main reason I brought this up today. If you look at the whole story of Joseph, we can almost relate it. Romans 8:28, we refer to that. Everything happens to good, those who love him. I'm paraphrasing it. Now, what is the secret? What is the secret in the life of Joseph, gratefulness and satisfaction throughout the story that we heard so far? Here is the secret. He knew his God so well personally from his childhood. From his childhood, he knew his God personally. Some of you are younger than 17. Some of you may be close to 17 or over 17. Where is your knowledge of the God whom you love? Maybe your parents are godly people. How are you? Where is your knowledge? If you are put in the same shoes and send you through the stories, what will you do tomorrow? Will you complain or will you be satisfied? Will you be faithful or you will be unfaithful to God? Be satisfied in your life. Now, one principle when you study the scriptures is one throughout the scriptures, I see this. If you are not satisfied with one thing that is given to you, the Lord will not put you responsibility for another thing higher than that. That is a very solemn principle you can see. We must be satisfied where we are, what we are, which situation we are. Even when you do the right thing and you got punished, you must have the attitude of thankfulness and satisfaction. To some extent, we can also give a lot of credit to his parents to bring him up in that way. Definitely, he probably learned something from his great-great-grandfather Abraham. What was the vision of Abraham? We read in the Hebrews. He looked for a house. The designer and the builder is God himself. I wonder if Joseph heard this story from his grandfather or somewhere along the way. His eyes never changed from God, whom he knew so personally. Every step of his life, we can see also Abraham as he moved with the tent from place to place. His eyes and goal was one place, never turned away from his God. What a testimony of grandfathers and parents. But irrespective of that, remember when he left home, after that, parents were not with him. He was all alone. In all, most of his journey, he was all alone at the young age. But he held his God, whom he knew personally, very close in his heart. God, if God put you in a certain stage in your life, irrespective of the place or other situations of life, be assured he has a purpose which may not be clear to you at that moment, but God will never, never leave you. This is my problem sometimes. I ask myself sometimes, why this, why that, and why not this? Sometimes we complain about such things, but not Joseph. Once we realize the purpose of God in our life, you will be a satisfied person. The satisfaction comes to our heart the moment that we recognize, my God has put me where I am. When Joseph realized that God put him for 13 years in the prison and never complained one word, he had a satisfied life there in the prison. In every instance that we looked at, there are things that has happened. Why not? What if this would have happened? You can see the hand of God underneath the entire story. This is where I want you to think this morning. Are you a satisfied person? Where what happened? You may have a goal for tomorrow. I'm not talking about that. Today, now, you satisfied. Like I said in the very beginning, this was Joseph. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. He was happy and satisfied and grateful and thankful the day, today. That today is fully satisfied. We will sing one song and in closing. There's a song that says in the red hymn book that says, satisfied with thee, Lord Jesus, I am blessed. Shall we sing together in closing? Brother Alex, after the song, will you please close in prayer?